God our Father, God our Father, we thank you. Can you imagine? I wouldn't go to church either. God, Father, I wouldn't go to church. I'm going to have somebody else come preach. I was wrestling with what to do. I didn't know who to have preach, but I found the guy with the white shirt on. With Dale Morey, and he's going to induction at this church. And Dale's a friend. We love him, support him. I believe he'll be a help tonight. I know, Brother Dale, I say this out loud to you. I say this privately, but I'm already up here. But it's not easy to follow the message we just heard. I just told Brother Dale, you just be Dale Morey. You preach what God's given you.
Yes, sir.
You pray for Brother Dale. He's going to bring the message. You just be obedient to the Lord. Brother Dale, thank you.
Well, some might say, well, he must be pretty nervous about getting up there after following the preaching. Really, I'm not. My heart aches because that spear is still here, young men. I see nobody come forward. I didn't see anybody go and grab at that spear. I didn't see anybody even look that way when the man of God was preaching, when he said, that spear is here to be taken. Let me say something, young people. I travel an hour and a half one way to get to the Monroe County Jail to meet people like you, Stephen. Joshua, to meet people like you. Dustin, to meet people like you. Except for at this point, they're big boys. They're in jail now. Grew up in Baptist homes.
Come on.
Grew up in Sunday school. Grew up a preacher's son or a preacher's daughter. And I got to go in and I got to watch them. And there's boys that I go in there and see, 21 and 22 years old, who have to have surgery on their feet because of the meth they smoke. And they walk up and down the road so much that their tar melts the bottom of their feet. 21 and 22 years old, and they look like skeletons. Because they refused to take that spear. They refused to take that thing that God has called them to. And keep trying to walk away from it, thinking that the world has something better to offer them. You think that. You're looking at a man right now who was rescued by Jesus Christ from that life. Amen. And there ain't many of us out there. I love my pastor. I thank God that he was obedient to God and came to Black Creek. Amen. But I know this. Jesus Christ rescued me, not my pastor.
That's right. Amen.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ is trying to reach out to you this youth week. How many youth weeks is it going to take? This is our ninth youth week. How many is it going to take? What's it going to take to get you up here and have God with that calling on your life? What's it going to take? God forbid, Pastor Cassiel, if you and Greg got to go in that jail, end up seeing one of these guys in there on a Thursday. Dale, you're never going to believe who's in there. Oh, I believe it. We travel around enough to see it. All over. It does not matter where we go. We have people come up to us and say, Brother Dale, my son, my daughter, my nephew, they're in prison. They're in jail. They're in a halfway house. They're in mental hospitals. But you sit here in Black Creek and think it can't happen to you.
Oh. Yeah.
That's where you're deceived. That's where you have no clue. That's where you are wrong. Because I see it everywhere I go. I see you young guys and trying to do the right things, and you young ladies are you're not a good exception. You're not an exception. Let me just tell you that right now. I've seen some Baptist ladies sitting in jails and prisons. We go visit them. Oh, Brother Dale, I don't know how I got here. I don't know how I got. Yeah, you knew how you got there. You refused Jesus Christ. You rejected the word of God. You rejected what the man of God was saying. And now you found yourself trapped in you. God just turned you over to yourself.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Amen.
You know, you go back and you look in the Old Testament, and when God wants to punish Israel, he turns them over to their own heart.
Right.
That's what he does. And he tries out of love and oppression to get them to come back. But they don't. How many more times, how many more youth weeks do you think God is going to promise you, young people? This is our 9th one. How many more? How many more tears? How many more warnings? How many more white flags are going to be raised? And then it's going to be your time. You'll close your eyes one last time. And you'll stand there. And just let me just say this. Hell is not a place you're going to go party. Yeah. If that's the case, then why do angels have to bind you hand and foot and cast you into hell?
Yeah. That's right.
Man.
Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30. I'll tell you what's going on. It's a generation. There's a generation out there. Proverbs chapter 30 explains what's going on. You go back and you read the book of Daniel chapter 3. And you'll see that the devil, once he gets the government. Once he goes out there and he gets the government and he gets all the leaders following his lead. Then guess what? The homes. You know, one of the biggest things that I tell the guys when I'm in jail and prison is this. I tell them this. I said, guys, you're a product of people removing God out of their home. You're a product of people removing God out of their heart. You're a product of God being removed out of the government,
right,
out of the schools. You're a product of that. And to watch this day's generation and have people say this to them, there's no hope for those men and women. That's what I hear all the time from correction officers. There's no hope for those men and women. Thank God them people didn't listen when they came and witnessed to me. Thank God you didn't ignore me when you came up there on that hill, Pastor. Thank God that you listened to God and came and seen me. Or I'd be dead and in hell today. I only had a few more choices. I was either going to be in jail for the rest of my life or dead. Proverbs chapter 30. I want you to start in verse 5, and we'll skip around here a little bit. And it says here, Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure. Hey, let me just say something here, parents. We don't take that very serious. We've become parents who take that stuff very lightly. Why are our children in a mess? Why are the children who are the adults now who are in jail and prison a mess? Because they watch the compromise of mom and dad.
That's right.
They watch the hypocrisy of the parents. They can act one way in church and go home and be a whole different ball game. And there they are. My mom used to force me to go to church, is what they always say. But she'd sit there drinking and drugging and fornicating. But my mom would force me to go to church. She'd go to church and she'd be this different person. She'd come home and be somebody else. Every word of God is pure. I want you to see the very next thing. It says he. He is a shield. What are we talking about? Talk about the word of God. Jesus Christ, he is a shield. He's the one that's going to protect. He's the one that's going to keep you safe. He's the one that's going to guide your steps.
Amen.
Young people, my pastor doesn't come and sit in my living room and teach me. But I have one who does.
Hey, that's right.
I have one who does, who comes at my kitchen table. Now, we're not perfect. I'm not Superman. 40 years I lived out there in the world. 40 years I lived out in there in sin. 40 years nobody ever showed me this King James Bible. But it wasn't until Old Time Baptist Church that they used to come in every Thursday night and they would teach me in prison. And they planted that seed. I'm an ex-gang member. Most of you know that. For those of you who don't know it, it's probably a good thing. but I'm an ex-gang member. And you won't get me out of that stuff. Brother Lou Godano used to come in. They call him the Hammer. He's an ex-gang member. Well, he'd come in, he wouldn't hold back on preaching that Bible. Something inside of me started happening. I had no clue what it was. Zero clue. The more I went, the more it hurt. But the more I knew I needed to keep going. You see, the Bible talks about people getting to that point where they have a seared conscience in their life. Those people that are in jail and prison have a seared conscience. Those things they get away with, those things you ask, how can they get away with that? How can they do that thing? It's because they have a seared conscience. They've lost that natural affection. They've learned how to put it away. They've learned how to get rid of it. They've learned how to hide it, just like you Sunday school students.
Come on.
Just like you preachers' children. You learn how to become a chameleon in this place.
That's right. It.
Come on.
God's been trying to help many people for many years at this youth week. And for every year, I watch you all leave the same person you've always been. Probably about my fourth time sitting underneath the Word of God. My heart was wide open. I said, I can't do it anymore. I cannot be a gang member and come here and listen to this preacher. I had a choice to make, and I'm unsaved. But it's tearing me apart.
Amen.
Something is happening to me. One of the problems here with you young people is you grew up underneath the Word of God and no longer bothers you. You become hard to it. You become cold to it. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield. How come he's not being the shield for you then? Because it's not pure to you. You've let it go. You've lost that. That's reality. And I sat underneath that preaching. And it tore me up. And I went out to the yard and I said, here it is, man. I can't live this way anymore. I got to get out of the game. So I approached my brothers and I said, listen, I know what's going to happen to me. I know what you need to do, but I'm willing to take that. And they said, why don't you come back in a month and we'll have our decision for you. I said, very good. At this point, in the gang, I have a lot of power. I'm what they call a first on the floor. I call the shots. I collect all the taxes. Man, I mean, they give a lot of power to me. Month goes by. I go out in the yard. I got a little pocket King James Bible that Brother Lou Godano and them gave me. I had no clue what it meant. I just said, I'm going to put it in my pocket. Let's see what happens. I'm going to put this thing in my pocket and I'm going to go out there and these guys are going to stab me. They're going to cut me. They're going to beat me up till there's no end. You don't just walk away from those things. But I'm going to do it because there's something about this Bible. It was tearing me apart. I had to do it. I just could not stop. There was no way that I could continue doing that. And so I did. I marched out into the yard. There they are. And I walk up to them. I walk up to the president of the whole yard and I say, I can't be in this anymore. He goes, you know the way out of it. I said, I know the way out of it. And he goes, you're willing to take that. I said, yeah, I'm willing to take that. Whatever it's going to take. Now back in my room, I already had my stuff packed up. So I'm going to the hospital or the grave, one of the two. My stuff is packed up on my bunk. It's already rolled up. He says, tell me the way. So I tell him the ways. He goes, you know there is a third way. I said, oh, a third way? I have no clue what you're talking about. He said, religion. I don't have religion. I just want you to know that. I'm just telling you what they say. I said, I'll take it. I'll take it. He says, for 2 years, we're going to put somebody on you. And they're going to watch you. If you are trying to stab us in the back, if you are trying to go ahead and be a turncoat on us, he says, you know we're going to get you. I said, I know you'll get me. You'll kill me. I know that. I perfectly understand that well. Guess what happened? 2 years later, I got delivered. I was 6 months to the gate. 6 months to go home. And they walked up to me and they said this. You've been released. But you'll always be a brother in our heart. Now, Amy, do I hide anywhere? Is my name not out there? I'm not afraid of them. Because I know who delivered me.
Yes.
Let me just say this. I was not saved at that time. But the word of God stirred in me so much that I went to face those guys. How about it, young people? When's the last time the word of God stirred anything in you? The word of God is pure, it says. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. You know, I come to see that the young people, there's no trust. We got a pastor who stands up here. We have evangelists. We have friends that come in here and they teach and they come in and they preach to us and they give us everything that God would have us to have. And let me say something. Every week I watch and leave here the same person that you've always been. I don't understand that. It confuses me. Either God's word has lost its power or you are the problem. I'm going to go with the second. You are the problem.
Amen.
You are the problem. I can guarantee you that. Let me just say this. There's some here sitting tonight who can barely keep your eyes open. That's how much the word of God means to you. And your soul's going to go to hell and you're okay with that. You're all right to burn in a hot hell. You're okay with to face that judgment. You go ahead. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't care what parent told you, what cousin tells you, what aunt told you, what grandparents told you. Hell is not a place you're going to go party.
Right. Uh-huh.
Verse 12 in that same chapter, chapter 30, verse 12 says, there is a generation that are what? Pure in their own eyes. I'm looking out at an audience of children, young adults who are pure in their own eyes. You know why? Because you don't see the word of God as pure as you just read in chapter 5. Because if you did, you'd be on your face broken. Psalm 51, 17 says this. When you come to God, you're going to come with a what? Broken heart and a broken spirit. You know what's missing? Contrition. You're not sorry for a thing you ever done against God. You're too busy on holding onto the things that were done to you. You know what almost sent me to hell? You know what almost sent me to hell, Stephen? Because I was hell-bent on holding the stuff against my mother. I was hell-bent on holding that stuff against that man who molested me. When I stood before a holy God, I couldn't have said, he done it to me. She done it to me. God said, what did you do? What is it that you've done? Why aren't you the one going to pay your own price? They couldn't pay that price for me. Let go of that nonsense. God can heal it. You don't think God can heal it? Here's a man who was on 19 psychotropic pills a day who takes zero today. Zero today. I don't have nightmares. I don't have any of that stuff. I don't need to drink. I don't need to do drugs. I don't need to do any of that stuff because Jesus Christ came into my life and it changed me forever. You want to get rid of that stuff that's in your heart, that's in your life that you can't get rid of, then you go to Jesus Christ. Nothing on this planet will ever help you. Everybody's looking for the physical for help. Let go of the physical, it ain't never going to help you. The spiritual. God wants to help you, he wants to heal you, but you got to let go of that. Paul talks about it. He says that worldly sorrow worketh death. I used to sit in that pew for 4 years. I sat in that pew lost. You know why? Because worldly sorrow. That's what I was holding on to. Worldly sorrow. I'd never seen that I was being a rebel against a holy God. And he's the one that I had to come face to face to. He's the one that I had to come to and tell him I'm guilty for the things I've done. And then he was able to heal those other things. It's called godly sorrow. Yeah. That worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. Well, you hold on to that worldly sorrow, man, and it drives you crazy. It'll drive you nuts. You go, why can't I get it? Because you're going after the wrong thing. Pure in your own eyes. Well, this person did this to me. And this person did that to me. And God says, if you'll just come to me, I can take care of that. If you'll just come to me and admit what you are against me and what you've done against me, I can take care of that. You don't trust them. Because you sat and preached for so long that you have let everything about this Bible become a cliche to you. You can say the right words. You pray the right prayers. You say the right things. And you're good little boys and girls and everything else. And you're still lost. Why? Because you're pure in your own eyes. It says there in verse 12, there's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. You go, well, I'm not out there doing... Hey, listen, you ain't got to physically be out there to do it to be guilty. Your heart's already telling you you're guilty. What about those thoughts in your heart? I tell my children this all the time. When I tell them to go do something and I feel like they're giving me an attitude, I said, all right, God, just see what you said in your heart about me. That's right. You ain't got to say it out loud. God sees it. How many of you are sitting in here tonight? Oh, it looks like you're really listening, but what are you really saying in your heart? God sees that. God knows that. He's reading that all day long. You know why? Because you're pure in your own eyes. You're not even clean from your own filthiness, but yet you think you are. Why? Because in the physical, you look real good.
That's right. That's right. Come on.
Uh-oh. In the physical, you look real good.
Come on.
But Jesus Christ says this, you've left something wrong on the inside. Years and years, me and my wife sat there lost. You know, we tried to do clean the physical. We tried to clean the outside. Before the inside got even touched, we were trying to clean the outside. It never worked. It always crumbled. We wonder why it can't happen. And then when Jesus Christ saved us, boy, those same things just came pretty easy to us, didn't they, huh? Wow.
Hey.
Verse 13, there's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes. And their eyelids are lifted up. If I say, hey, let's be honest. Let's just take a show of hands for you young people. How many of you really think that you need to be here? How many of you really think that you need to be under the Word of God? How many of you think that you really need to be saved? Right. How many of you think, you young men, how many of you think that you really need to be up here grabbing this spear? How many? Excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. It will only carry you so far. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords. We travel around. Let me just tell you this. We hear some church kids in the way they talk, and the way they cut, and the way they tear, and how parents down adults that are in that church. And I hear it with my own eyes, and I go, oh my Lord, what has happened? Where an adult will let a children, let their children tear an adult down and be okay. And be okay. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords and their jaw teeth as knives, and they devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. How about it? Young people, I got a question for you. When's the last time you thought about somebody besides yourself?
Good question.
Yeah.
I don't care how old you are. I don't care what you've been through. There are things that God instructs all of us at an age. One of them, one of my biggest ones, was to honor your mother and your father.
Yeah.
Woo! You expect me to honor somebody who abused me like that? He didn't put a stipulation on it. I just want to make that clear.
Right? Yes,
you find me a stipulation on that. You find me a stipulation on that. And you go and I want you to find out all the list of where it says honor your mother and your father. And it's included in every list of people who are going to hell for not doing that very thing. Let me ask you something, young people. When did that start bothering you? When has it, let me ask you that, as you get older, older, younger people. How about people in the 40s and 50s and 30s? How about when did God say, okay, you don't have to, you can stop doing that now, it's over with?
Come on.
That's right.
You see, there's a generation. There's a generation that just don't care. The man of God preached about a spear. He says, send a young one. Where's the young ones? Where are they? I told my pastor this, Brother Tim, and I'm going to close with this. I told my pastor this. I said, I just want you to know, Pastor John, I'm praying for the next pastor at the Black Creek Baptist Church.
Yes, sir.
And I hope that there's going to be somebody. I hope there's somebody who can come and grab this spear and carry this on. Because you know what? I have children. I'm going to have grandchildren and grandchildren. And you're going to have children and grandchildren. Who's going to carry it on? Young people, if you don't get it right, 30, 40 years from now, Black Creek may be just something that happened in the past. Blowing in the wind, there'll be nothing left. How many churches do we hear pastor getting up here and he's preaching and he's telling people, door closing here, door closing there, doors closing here, men are out there trying to fight and keep them open, but you know what? You know who's taking them over? Older men.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Where's the younger men?
Yeah.
They don't want the spear.
Yeah.
I had a guy tell me, I don't want the responsibility. Also, the souls aren't precious to you anymore. You
That's
lost
right.
them. They don't mean nothing. So you're okay going to sleep at night knowing that people are dying and going to hell. You might have been able to step in there and say a word to them. They might have got saved, but you know what? That doesn't mean nothing to you anymore. You don't want that responsibility. God help this generation. And listen to me. You may not come here on a regular basis at Black Creek, but you come here enough. Don't let this be that teen week for you. Will you leave here the same person you've always come in here as?
Amen.
Don't leave this teen week the same person that you've always come in here as. Because it's going to come to an abrupt end, unfortunately. It will be a sad end. And there's not a person in this room who would wish that on anybody. And I'm just asking you this, young people. Come take that spear. Come this week. Listen to what God has. Have fun. Sing. But when the preacher's going, let it do something to you. Let it unsear that conscience that you've shut off. You shut that off. You've allowed that to happen. You've made that choice. You do not have to let that be, but you are. Open it, let God heal it, let Him get in there and change your life. I know there's people here that I talk to all the time. Listen, God can do something with you that you never ever thought possible.
Right.
Do you think that 8 years ago I think that I'd be in the position I'm at today, not in a million years? You go ask those people that I grew up around. You go ask those old mobsters and stuff that I used to sell hot stuff to. They say, we didn't think Dale was going to make it to see age 20. I'll be 48 in 2 days. How about that? You know what? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I had that same man tell me this day. I cannot believe the person who you used to be and now you're up there preaching. He says, man alive, what is going on? I said, Jesus Christ is going on.
Yeah.
You want a part of it? He can give it to you. But you got to decide. You got to be diligent, man. You're diligent in everything else you do except for the things of God. You ever notice that about yourself? Why? And I'm talking to my Sunday school class right now. Why is it so hard to find time to read your Bible, but everything else you have time for? You tell me that. Because the Word of God is not pure in your eyes.
Yeah.
Come on.
You don't trust it. If you'll just put that away this week. Put that away and get rid of it. And watch what God can do for you. Tim, I'm done, bro.
Hello, Tim. Pick up on that just a little bit here. Dale knows he's precious to my soul. He's got a lot weighing on him right now. The Monroe County jails have opened to him. Okay. powerful politicians wanting to see him and such. And I'm glad of that. I am. I have great hopes that God will open many doors with him. And you know what Dale's goal is in these jails he goes into? His goal is that one family, be able to sit in the house of God and lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. That's what he's longing for, just one family to be utterly changed. Utterly changed. One of the joys I've had as the pastor of this church, I've had people walk through that back door back there on Sunday morning, and they're crying. In fact, his family was one of them. Another family back there did. What are you crying about? We were driving to church and we heard a sound in the back of the car. Our children were singing hymns. They'd never heard that before.
Yeah.
They'd never heard that sweet sound of little children singing hymns. It's just boiling up in their hearts and they're crying in the back of that church. And I mean, they're still nasty at this point, the mother and dad. But they're beginning to realize there's a better life. Yeah. There's something God can do.
Yeah.
We got to thirst for that. Thirst for it. I want to look at a contradiction in the Word of God. Okay? I'm going to try to pull this back or something. A lot of people can't see the loveliness of my face, but.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. God bless you, Randy. Go to Hebrews chapter 4 real quick. With the mic, all right. Hebrews chapter 4. I'll put the mic on. People know I like that Donnie Harvey approach. Just walk out there through the hall. But I'll be proper up here. I'll stand here. But Hebrews chapter 4, watch what it says here. And we'll go to verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth, that some must enter therein, that they to whom it first preached entered not in because of unbelief. What did God preach to them, those people out in the wilderness? Well, he told them, I got a rest for you folks. I got a rest. Yeah. You know, the hardest thing for people to realize is that you can rest in Christ Jesus.
Man,
they have a hard time understanding that. There's been so much of this phony baloneyism out there. You know, pray this prayer and nothing changed. Or whatever. You know what I asked Dale one day? I just said, Dale, what if God had left you the way you were after you were saved? What's that?
Yeah.
What a curse to leave him the way he was.
Yeah.
You had Tanya shaking her head. You imagine Tanya if God had just left you like you were? Can you imagine that? These people come up to me, they're the same old cuffs they always been. Oh, Lord, I prayed this prayer one time. Had a preacher one time wondered why so many of my boys are lost. I said, well, my boys are in church. And you know what the difference is? I liberated my boys. You know how many preachers' kids I know that have prayed the prayer and they keep being told, you're saved, you're saved, you're saved, you prayed the prayer. You prayed the prayer, you're saved. Don't worry about it. Mama's telling their daughters, telling their sons, telling their grandkids, telling their nieces, telling their nephews, oh, you're saved. Remember, we prayed together in the kitchen. You're saved. Don't worry. And that kid's just, his heart aching inside over what's being preached. That's one of the first things I have to do in this church, is deliver people from that. Deliver them. Deliver them. There is a rest.
Right.
There is a rest that God can give. There is a rest. See, I used to be a Roman Catholic, and you know what they told me? They said, you eat this bread, and you drink this wine, and God will dwell in you. And they had verses that said, go read John chapter 6, it says it, okay? And you say, well, that's not true. Kind of mixing it all up. Hey, you ever seen Baptists mix the Bible up? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't look at the next verse.
Right.
How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed?
Yeah.
Okay? You go get a bunch of people who never believed nothing. Get them to pray some stupid prayer. Put a little notch on your belt. And make them twofold more a child of hell than they ever were before.
All right?
I liberated my boys. You know when you're saved? When God says you're saved.
Yeah.
When your soul, the great I am, goes inside of you and says, I am. He's inside of you. He's living in you. Put a peace of God which passeth all understanding. That's salvation. And don't you stop till you have it. Don't you stop till you have it. Well, I got saved 37 years ago. It took my wife 19 more years to get saved. She used to crawl up on altar calls. Crawl up on them. Pray and just not get anything. Men, God would deal with it. Preachers' wives would deal with her. One told her one time, I think you got something good enough to live with. She said, I want something to die with. I want something to die with. I want that assurance inside. I want to know inside. I want something greater than me speaking in my heart that I have the God of Israel. That's what I'm looking for. And if you don't have that, toss out what you got. 5,822 churches you can go to probably within an hour's drive of here where what you got's good enough. But you want to know what? We got a King James Bible here that says God has a rest that he'll give you. And it's a rest. And if it ain't a rest, it ain't right.
That's right.
He says this. Verse 7 again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You want to know something? That's a command that God gives to every person.
Right.
Now let me tell you something. Just get this straight. You know what the book of John says? Which we're born, not of the will of man, nor the will of the flesh, but the will of God.
Right.
One of the things that happened to the Baptists about 200 years ago under Finney is they started coming up and telling everybody, well, it's just your will. You just, come on, just say you want to get saved. Just say you want to get saved. Just say you want to get saved. And you know what Finney did in his last years in Oberlin College? He looked back over the landscape of all where he'd been in Ohio, New York, and New England. He stopped the Second Great Awakening with that. He stopped it. He shut down, he literally shut down the Great Awakening preachers and became the powerful man amongst them. He stopped it. And in Oberlin College, he looked around and realized that nobody stopped. Where Nettleton had been, where Dwight had been a grandson of Jonathan Edwards, one of the great men of the Second Great Awakening. And they teach in Bible college today, Finney started the Second Great Awakening. No one stopped it. And now that's all we use today. Every fundamental has been taught how to stop revival in your town. How to stop it. You know what I tell my people? Marinate in God. Let God soak into your soul. Let him get deep down into your conscience. Let your ears be open and hear what God has to say. And let God do what he's going to do. And you know what? Everybody's going to chirp around. You don't need that. You don't need that. Shut up. You do need it. Shut up. You do need it. Well, you prayed this way. You took this pill. You ate a wafer. You don't need any of that. You prayed it. Oh, shut up. God has a rest. Amen. It's a rest that God gives. Says this in verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, and we've not afterwards spoken of another day, but let me tell you something. I'm going to sound like a Calvinist, and I'm not a Calvinist. But that moment when God saves a man, that's up to God. That's up to God. You want to know something? He said he wanted to do it to everybody.
Yeah, right.
Okay? You know what he ordered you to do? Get ready.
Yes, right.
He ordered you to listen.
Sure did.
He ordered you not to harden your heart. Right. He ordered you to be there. He ordered you to let it sink down deep into your ears. Somebody told me, they said, well, it says in the Bible that no man seeketh after God. How do you seek God? You want to know something? You ever see a man with a palsy able to straighten his own hand out? Wasn't it the cruelest thing in the world when Jesus Christ told that man, straighten your hand out? No, because in the command is the power.
That's right.
Amen. Okay? Right. Stand up and put, roll up your bed. You don't think he's been wanting to do it for 30 years? You don't think for 30 years this man's wanted to roll his bed up and walk like other people? What a cruel thing to say to him. Stand up and roll up your bed. But in the word was the power to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? And you want to know what? The preachers here are going to tell you to seek God.
Yes.
And you want to know what? The power's in it.
Yes, sir.
Because it's the pure word of God. And you have the power to seek this God because you've heard it. The Apostle Paul said, all men have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame.
Yeah.
Okay? Not enough people out there telling people seek God, showing how to do it. I had a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine. We were both lost preachers. I got saved first. I've been working in soul winning ministry. Documented 500 people prayed the prayer with me the year before. Old convert of Olive Greens pointed at me and said, boy, if you knew what I really thought of you, you'd leave here. I was under conviction. It caught me under conviction. I knew that guy seen something in me. Took me a while. God finally, 1238 Bluff Road, Columbia, South Carolina. I believe Sammy Jr. got saved within a half a block of that. 1238 Bluff Road, Columbia, South Carolina, right down near the stadium there. God finally brought me to repentance. They had a ice storm that day, and I'm just a dumb Yankee, so I went to work. We have a little ice on the road, you're not going to go to work. You know, we had that in July here. You know, yeah. Go to work. You know? I go there, there ain't nobody on the whole block. You know, but me and God, and King James Bible, and my God, he finally showed me what was wrong with me. Wasn't anything wrong on that side of it. There was an awful lot wrong on the reception side. All right? Awful lot wrong on the reception side. But he showed me there's a rest. And you want to know the first thing that hit me? The roaring stopped.
Yeah.
The confusion stopped.
Yeah,
you know, that wondering and constantly hold us. It just all stopped. You know, that great man that stood on the bow of the ship and said, peace be still. He told the waves to stop.
Yeah,
he told the waves to stop. He told it all to stop. And you know something? It stopped. It stopped. It stopped. It was done. There's a rest of the children of God. Hey. Says this verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. God will allow you to rest. Boy, some of you, you could use that rest.
Yes, sir.
You've been trying to hold on to this junk for so long,
yes,
you can use that rest. For he that has entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. There ain't a single work you can do that you saved. Now let me tell you something. One of the great privileges this church has is every 2 years, we're in the off year now, it won't happen until next year. We have a Jew from Israel that comes and visits. Brother Foltz was here. We let that Jew preach. Does he believe in Jesus? Not at all.
No.
But he has a lot of respect for King James Baptist. But he comes here with a lot of respect. The man that won me to the Lord was a personal friend of his, and he always comes. He said, I always love to go find Billy Randall's churches. And just, it's amazing to me what God's done. And he said, you King James Bible believers, you like Jews. You fight over little words. Muggles. Muggles. But the man's a philologist. And what does that mean? Just, he just speaks tons of languages. Tons. He's grown up speaking Hebrew his whole life. And I mean the old biblical Hebrew. Okay? Thinks it. We'll ask him questions about ancient Greek sometimes. He'll just whoop, doesn't even have to look it up. Just whoop, he writes it out. So when I first met him, the state of Oklahoma had hired him to restore the Muskogee language. And there he went. Learned the Muskogee language, put it all in writing and everything for him, took his paycheck, went off and did something else. Okay? That's what he does. Every 2 years he comes here. I think it was 3 years ago that he taught us about the difference between the words work and labor. He said that King James Bible has it perfect, he said. He said the Hebrew has two different words. One is work, the other is labor. And he says the King James Bible has translated it perfectly. Perfectly. Has it exactly right. Work is when you change something. That's why a Jew on the Sabbath won't flip a switch, because it changed something inside. Work got done. But he said there's nothing wrong with labor, walking with the plates, when you're not changing anything. You're not changing anything. You're just doing, you're getting dressed. Okay? You didn't make your clothes into different clothes. You didn't sew a new shirt. Okay? You didn't take and put a new button on or anything. You just got dressed. Okay? That's labor. Okay? The Hebrews are specific on that. The difference between work and labor. Okay? What a Jew can labor all day long on the Sabbath. Nothing wrong with that. How's he go to the bathroom if he can't labor? All right? How's he do that? That's why you can go get your ox out of the ditch and such, because it's just labor. It's not work. You're not making a new ox or something like that. You're not building a stall for it or anything of that sort. You're just taking it out of the ditch. And he explained that. It's tremendous. It was a tremendous message. Then I read here in the book of Hebrews and realized, you know, the Apostle Paul worked for that same thing. Now let's watch that. Here's what he says. For he that is entered, verse 10 again, into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works, as God did from it. You know what the message all through the Pauline epistles? Cease from your works, cease from your works, cease from your works, cease from your works, cease from your works. You don't have a single work you can do that'll ever convince God you need salvation. Okay? And then he says in verse 11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into this rest. That's good. See that? See that? The old Jew had it right. The old Jew, the Apostle Paul, had it right. That old Jew, the dog dust, had it right. Labor to enter into that rest. What do you mean labor to enter into that rest? You mean to be in the house of God and listening when the men of God are preaching. Okay? Don't be sitting around thinking maybe God's going to hit you with a lightning bolt somewhere and you'll understand. You need to get the junk out of your life that's twisting your life. Get it out of your life. Purge it out of your life. Is that going to save you? No, there's no work that will save you, but there's labor that will make you able to hear more. Okay? Got two types of young people sitting here. We got some sitting here who really are listening tonight, and we have others that are just kind of waiting for it to be over, and, you know, wondering what's going to go on in their eye, blah, 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 blah. Right? You need to labor. You need to labor. You need to get in the Word of God. You need to study. You need to read it. Why? Because God desires to save you so much that He set apart His crown, His glory, and He stood on this earth and He took a cross to Himself and He took the whip on His back. He took the crown of thorns because that's how much He wants you to know it.
Amen.
Somewhere around 200 years ago, Baptists and Protestants all over began to try to make it into a quick 1-2-3 thing. We damned America. If you don't think America's damned, you ain't turned the news on.
Yeah.
Okay? We damned America. Damned it. How many times have you people in this church heard me say this? Don't even think you're going to change Washington. Don't even think you're going to go up to Albany and change that bunch up there. I teach you to respect them. Well, brother, if Governor Cuomo walked in those doors right now, I'd respect him as the governor of my state. I'd respect him as Governor Cuomo. How many times did you hear me say when President Obama was president, he walked in here, I'm a conservative, I'd call him President Obama. See, I'm a conservative. I believe in a country where we honor those that rule and such. And you say, well, the other side doesn't. Doesn't mean you got it. You don't have to give me this Rush Limbaugh mocking, ha ha ha, isn't this funny, you know, and make fun of all of them and all that kind of stuff. They make enough fun of themselves. Just watch their debates, okay? Labor. Jesus Christ told the story of the parable of the sower. And it's really remarkable. Sower sows the seed, and it goes on the ground where people don't understand. And it just says the devil just, birds just ate that seed and took it out. And you have that. I've talked to some people who didn't understand, and it's just gone. It ain't there, it's not doing anything. Then you go up to another one, and you talk to that person, and there's weeds growing there, and it just chokes it. What are those weeds? Those cares of the world and such, and they're choking that. They're still more worried about their job, the football team, and, you know, all their 401k and what they're going to do, and will my wife like me going to church there? And, you know, all this stuff's worrying them, and it just chokes it out. And you got that, goes in the rocks, and there's no root. No root. And you know what the problem with America right now is? If you go talk to 10,000 people, if you can find one with any depth in their life to be able to receive scripture, you found an amazing, unique person. It takes me 4 to 8 years to get a person saved in this church. 4 to 8 years before, Miss Betsy Cassiola, I just heard her talking. She was talking up there to some missionaries, and she just talked about the first time she came, and that thought went through her head. Could I be lost? That happened for the first time. Could I be lost? Could I be lost? And then God began to build on that. Took her 3 years to come here. October meeting. Coming up here 3 years. Youth week. 3 years. And that could I be lost began to build. And finally, last year, just the week before youth week, Mel Morey was sitting in his Bible and wondered, what's fame mean? He knew that word meant. So he's looking up everywhere in the Bible. He went over to Dixon, looked up everywhere in the Bible, looking up in context. He went over to Cassiola's and he preached. Fame! And Miss Betsy, for the first time, God took it all away from her. Pulled the platform away. It's gone. There's no more justifying of herself. It's over. She can't crawl back anymore and pretend that maybe she's really saved. It was over, it was done. You say she got saved or no? She came Monday, didn't get saved. She talks about going and weeping in her room. And Betsy's got 3 of the nicest kids you've ever seen. Good husband. Good husband. Good in-laws. Okay? Good church. Tuesday, she didn't get saved. Wednesday, she didn't get saved. Thursday morning, she didn't get saved. Thursday afternoon. She said, I was in my room. And the Lord humiliated me. And he saved me. He humiliated me and he saved me. See, she entered into that rest. No more trying to do that. But you know, what if she hadn't gone into her bedrooms each of those times and prayed that out? See, she had to labor to enter into that rest. She had to labor to enter that. You know, my son Timothy right now, we listen to a lot of audiobooks. We're too lazy to read anymore in our family. But, you know, Mike was on the airplane and found out some big author from England sitting there next to him. He said, was it on an audiobook? He says, the guy. But, hey, find out, you know. And I still have books I read, you know, but, you know, those audiobooks. But we got Wesley's journals on an audiobook. And you know what you hear? You hear Wesley talking about, and we started a society in this town last year. And I've come here this year, and there's about 100 people living a pretty good life in here. And I've gone through and talked to them. There's about 2 or 3 of them that I think have found peace. 2 or 3 of them I think have found that rest. 2 or 3 of them I think have found that rest. Okay? I think have found that rest. They found it. It was a time when a man or a woman was allowed to sit there and think about those things and marinate those things, and you didn't have somebody walk up to you and tell you to right now say, your will hand. Don't worry about the one who said it's his will. God has an issue with every person here. And I've settled mine. Oh, we give him a little minor scrape once in a while. He wins every one of them. But the overall, what's wrong with John Asquith got settled 37 years ago. And it, to quote Miss Betty, it was humiliating. Okay? It was humiliating. It was awful when I saw what I was. It was awful. It was a terrible thing. I remember thinking to myself, if anybody I knew could see me right now, they would hate me. They would just hate me. If they could see what I am right now, they would just hate me for what I am. I remember just thinking that. They'd hate me. And I just knew, by now I'd made up my mind, there is a salvation that knows for sure. There is a salvation where the Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. There is a salvation where you can lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Bible colleges today raised up men to go around and put salve on doubting people.
That's right.
Yes, sir. All right, I was walking around putting salve on them. It's all okay. You know how many men I know whose wives are lost, their children are lost, and they're just out there some of them pretty good men, but their wives, just years ago, they started feeding them antidepressants to handle the fact they can't get saved and such, and tell them, well, you're really saved, it's okay, and such. And they hate this kind of preaching. They hate their families around this kind of preaching. They hate all this kind of stuff. Because we're preaching what the Bible says, that God can do a miracle. God can do a miracle. God can do what you can't. God can come inside of you. God can give you that assurance. God can live inside of you. God can cry out inside of you. God can give you that peace inside of you. God can settle it. God can change you. God can do it. And it's a miracle when he does it. Can't be described other than a miracle. It's just something wonderful that God does. It's a wonderful thing. I made up my mind when I took this church 12 years ago. Number one, no one will come into this pulpit and correct the King James Bible. You're not doing that, okay? Number two, you're not coming in here and giving my people assurance. I busted an evangelist, a good man, who wouldn't stop doing it. Oh, you're really saved. You're really saved. No, get out of here. I'm not saying that. A man far better than I am. Far better man than me. But you're not going to do that to my people. Miss Jody, I saw her standing up here being demanded that she tell how she got saved. You just seen her eyes. She had no salvation. She got a hold of me 2 years ago. Called me on Saturday morning after youth week. Said, Pastor, I believe I got saved this morning. I hear that all the time. Yeah. And I just file my fingernails or whatever. I ain't like the angels in heaven running around with joy. You hear it all the time. What's up, Jody? Said, this morning my husband was looking for some affection. And she said, I've been married to him for 13 years. And the only time I've ever given him affection, I just grit my teeth and endure him. My daddy left me years ago and my mother used to mock me that he's not coming back and I've never trusted any man. And she said this morning, she'd really been tore up the night before in the preaching, but she said this morning, the thought entered my head, why don't you trust your husband? And she thought about that and she said, like lightning, the answer came, because you don't trust me, Jody. You don't trust me. And she told me, she said, I jumped up out of that bed. She ran into that little trailer or that little bathroom of that trailer. And she wept into that toilet like she was vomiting, just wept and wept and wept out that sinful life of a girl who never trusted God and all the sin. You can blame daddy for it. You can blame mama for it. You can blame this person and that person for it. But you know what? Long time ago, they handed you the baton and you've done the sinning on your own. And you've perfected the sin in your life. And you've made yourself into the wretch you are. Okay? And she wept over what she'd become, wept over it. She told me, she said, Pastor, she said, I left that bathroom and for the first time in 13 years, I laid my head in my husband's lap. I like it. I like it. Okay? There is a rest, therefore, to the children of God. But you have to labor to enter into it. Cease from your own works. Tell you the strangest thing. Talks about that good ground. Now here's an odd statement. Jesus said it, so we're going to have to defend it. For years it didn't fit my theology. A lot of what Jesus said never fit my theology. Alright? He said that good ground is someone who receives the word of God in a good heart. What? A lost heart is good? He received the word of God in a good heart? What are you talking about? You know what that good heart is? It's ground that a farmer found all tangled in weeds and rocks and horrible and birds eating everything. And that farmer labored with that ground and he labored and he got the rocks out. Old Mike can tell you, I used to send him and his brother to Vermont, and that farmer used to make them walk around a hay wagon, and he drives slow through the fields, and they're picking rocks up out of the fields because he's trying to get another field to put his cows in, and they just sit there and pick those all day long in Vermont. You know, that farmer would call me and say, yeah, I got that verse that said, that's good for a young man to bear the yoke in his youth. And say, your boys are out there picking rocks up, right? Why are they picking rocks up? Because that farmer believed that that field could produce. That farmer believed that that field could have good alfalfa, Timothy hay growing in it, and those cows could walk through there and not eating nettles and not eating all the briars and that, but have good hay and that good stuff growing there, not rocks all over the place. But it took a lot of labor to do that. And you want to know something? There's some people out there that God has to do that in their heart and prepare that heart to receive the King of Glory. Prepare that heart and make it a good heart to receive the God of Glory. Doesn't make him a good person. I wasn't a good person today, I got saved. But God had finally worked something in me where I was finally ready to shut up for once and hear what God had to say about me.
Amen.
Okay? Shut up for once and hear what God had to say about me. We offer hope here. Let me tell you something. We don't count numbers. I count victories in families that have found love and joy with each other. I count victory in families that used to go to bed at night squabbling over beer and alcohol and drugs and children laying in their beds crying because mom and dad are hating each other and screaming. Now that family, the songs of Zion are playing in the background of that family. Mom and dad coming to church. Those little kids learning to obey. There's no happier child than a child taught to obey. That's the happiest child in the world. The cruelest thing you'll ever do is not teach your children to obey. It's so cruel. Second cruelest thing is not give them the work ethic. It's cruel. Put them out there in the real world. They've never been taught to obey. Don't have that work ethic. And I've watched God take some of these families and God take them. I mean, I watch God do it. God. There is a rest. There is a rest. To rest your soul, to rest your heart. You rest in the arms of God.
Amen.
You have to labor to enter therein.
Yes,
Brother McVeigh. Amen.
Appreciate those of you that are going to stay with us.